and Matt. We're an interracial couple with two kids wanting to do something that highlights the power of friendship and what it means to be in the company of true friends. We're going to move our society away and out of the loneliness epidemic and into a friendlier, happier world. Welcome to Our Friendly World. Better, stronger, together.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
Hello.
Where we left off last week was, okay, let's go out there and find people opposite from us. How do you find that? Where do you go even?
Right.
I was saying you should take classes. You're like, you should join a group. I'm like, I'm not a joiner. I don't want to join. So tell us what you did, Matt.
I don't want to, but okay. So I went to a site called meetup.com. And I had joined meetup.com when we lived in previous cities. And I haven't been there in a while. And part of me was even wondering if it was still there. But it was. And it was seemed very engaging. So I was looking and it was like, oh, hey, there's a coding thing. Well, okay. And then I was like, I'm not sure if I want to go to that because they might ask me about stuff that I haven't done in a while. And, you know, they want you to introduce yourself and maybe help people work on projects and stuff. And I was like, yeah, but then I might feel like a fool. Duh. And then I saw another one. And I was like, ooh.
Hold on. So you gave up. You're like, I'm not going to that because I don't want to look like a dumbass. Because
I don't want, I didn't want to use the ASS word.
Sorry. Okay. Okay.
And then I found another one and it was like, you know, take a stroll through the countryside and talk about philosophy. That sounds like fun, right? Well, for some people that sounds like fun. And then I was like, what if I say something really stupid? Or what if I, you know, again, look foolish? No. So I was like, maybe not.
So you talked yourself out of it.
I talked myself out of it twice.
All right. So it's time to bring up what I heard a couple months ago from the voiceover community. Don't be interesting. Be interested. So, yeah, I mean, we all feel like no matter how much of an expert you may be in something, I mean, we'll just speak for ourselves. We're the type of people that always think, well, you know, I don't know. I don't want to look bad or I don't want to say anything because it may seem like I don't know anything or I may look foolish or I may sound foolish. Now, we don't live like that. We don't care if we look foolish. But as far as the conversation goes, yeah, if it's really important for you to go out there and meet someone, yeah, you have to sound good, right? So you get nervous. You have to sound good. You have to look good.
Right.
You know, all of that. You briefly, before we start recording, you briefly asked me a question like, do the clothes make a man? And I didn't even skip a beat. And I said, yes, absolutely. Because one, when I have, I don't know, a shirt or a dress that is so unique for me, unique, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I feel good in, or it's right. Like it's not sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel able to handle anything that comes my way.
So it's like armor.
It is like armor, but it's like it just pulls me together. And I've also noticed, like, if you look at people. So I was watching a TV show and this woman the TV show was Women of the Land with Eva Longoria, and she's constantly changing even though they're like going through farmland and like they're walking through mud and all this. She is in a bright white outfit pulled together and I'm looking at that on my own having a conversation in my own head going, I like that because it's despite what's going on in her life, that's her way to feel better.
Right.
And also to be taken seriously or to be taken a certain way. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back to Schitt's Creek, the show we loved, they always dressed up. Just because they lost all their money and they were living in a motel that was gross, you know?
Right.
Every day they took pride in their clothes and how they presented themselves. And remember that scene where Eugene Levy's character loses a button? And you could see him, his character, you could see his life unraveling. And when he finds the button again, all is well. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is important.
Right.
So going back, and I'm sorry, you just wanted to say something. Go ahead.
No, it's too late now. It's gone.
Oh, did you forget it?
Yes.
Well, I was going to say how we present ourselves. Now I forgot what I was going to say. There was a point to this. I went off on a tangent with the clothes, but what were we saying?
Well, what's interesting is I think that the reason why I'm going through this, I'm having this kind of inner dialogue that then turns outer dialogue, is because in both situations, I think I kind of feel like I'm in for the duration. So I'm in for a couple of hours. Whereas, like, case in point, oh my goodness, this week we have this really obnoxious hat. It has these like jewels on, fake jewels on it, and it says luck. And I'm the only one in the house who will wear this thing.
You got that for my birthday.
I got that for you and for the house, and nobody will wear it but me because it's all sparkly and it's crazy. It's crazy. I had zero problems wearing it to the gas station, but the thought of like real quote unquote strangers, it's a little different. It's a little intense. And a lot of it is we're dealing with emotion versus logic, the emotional section of your brain versus the logical section of your brain. Logically speaking, I just won't say anything if I'm, you know, concerned it's going to be foolish. But emotionally, I'm like, no, I'm going to blurt out something ridiculous.
Here's the thing. We always think, okay, so I'm all over the place, but they say that the number one fear people have is public speaking. And I think that we think when we go out to meet people or we're going to a party, that automatically you're going to be put on some pedestal with a mic on you and spotlight for you to give a speech. No one wants to hear your speech. But going back to be
interested, not interesting.
I would say the opposite, yes, but I mean I know. The other way around. Be interested, not interesting. Mm-hmm. So you really don't have to say much, but you could ask questions. And let's say someone asked you questions about the coding, for example, right? You're a great coder. You're phenomenally talented. However, if someone asks you a question, one question, I guarantee you can turn that into a beautiful conversation.
Well, yeah, of course.
So I think it's just feeling the overwhelm of everything rolled up into one instant, and then you feel overwhelmed and then you want to back out of it. And I think that's a normal thing to think. But if you just remember that you're not there to give a TED talk.
I'm not?
No. And if you do feel that way, if you do feel nervous, remember, be interested, not interesting. I mean, studying martial arts, you always hear about the great masters. They're always asking questions. They're not really giving you a lecture. And it's in the questions where you understand each other or you get a point across even, right? Mm-hmm. And so who cares if you ask a question and some people think, oh, now I'm the alpha and you're the beta because you ask a question because you don't know. We don't want to be friends with that anyway. We don't want that in your circle. But the ones that hear your question, one, everyone wants to be heard. Everyone wants to show their bit of expertise. It's not like I'm asking you a question like, hey, what's the answer to peace in the Middle East? You know what I'm saying? It comes in the little questions. Like that would be a superficial conversation. Like you don't have any context. You don't know. You've just met this person. You don't know their background. You don't know what their history of knowledge is or anything. So to ask a question like, what's the answer to this, you know?
Right.
It's illogical and it's not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not realistic. It's not, what's the other word I'm looking for? It's not, whatever. It's just, it's not reasonable. It is not, I can't think of the word, struggle. You guys. I can't think of the word.
But, you know, just as you're talking, I'm thinking about Who is like the original smartest man in the room? The original, the OG from back in before the Common Era. Smartest man in the room was Socrates. He was the smartest man in the room in ancient Greek society, rock on. And I'm not sure how much further back we go. We could talk Solomon, but I don't want to because I want to talk about Socrates. Socrates is fascinating, not only because they made him kill himself, but also because, and that's not what I want to focus on either, but he was known for asking questions, and that's all he did. He didn't actually propose any kind of originality. It's almost like he took what he was given, and then he figured out interesting ways to spin it around by asking questions.
And there's a fine line to that, because you can ask questions and offend people completely.
Exactly. And that would be the wrong way, certainly, to go if you're just trying to meet people and hang out and have a good time. And
like, you wouldn't say, why are you wearing that? Or the question I get, why are you so short? Are you kidding me? Get out of here.
Oh, I'm doing it on purpose, actually.
Why are you so short? Wow. I remember I've been asked that question since I was a little kid, right? And I remember talking to a friend at school. I'm like, why are these people asking me that? And then someone said, you should just ask them, why are you so stupid? Or why are you so nosy?
There you go. You know, I like nosy more than I like stupid, but yes.
This was elementary school.
So yeah, I know. Rules are different. The other... There's two other points. There's actually two other points I want to make. One of which is something I learned a long time ago. And oftentimes it certainly seems as we go through these podcasts that I go through and I get to delve into these weird nuggets of knowledge that I've acquired over time. Alan Cooper, computer guy, said the number one priority for anybody using a software application, and this was back in those days, is to not look foolish. Number two was to get a reasonable amount of work done, but number one was not to look foolish.
Do you agree with that?
Well, it means that we're hardwired on such a fundamental level with a fear that we're going to look foolish.
I feel like if you look foolish, you're more human looking and people want to be friends with you.
And there you go. And that's very...
But it doesn't work in a work environment, does it?
It depends. Because I have zero problems looking foolish when I first start a job. Because that affords me the opportunity to ask the fundamental questions, to throw out. I walk into every single job. I call it ignorant. But really, I try to walk into it without any assumptions. And that's a powerful place to be because I'm allowed not to have any assumptions because I just started. So why don't you tell me how you consider this business case or this problem or this whatever? And why don't you help me connect to the company resources I need to connect to because I don't know how. There's a power in that. Now, you look foolish if you're 6 months into it and you're asking really basic questions, and I get that, but... There's a power in it, and I very much live inside of that power for the first few weeks, even though I know it makes people look at me cross-eyed like, is this guy serious? But
when you look at kids, little kids who are asking these same kinds of questions, it's kind of like the same thing as starting a new job, right?
Yes.
They're asking the same types of questions. You don't look at that kid like it's foolish. In a way, you're inspired by it. You're like, yeah, why is that? Why is the sky blue? Or whatever it is they ask, I don't remember now, but they ask really good questions.
Right.
But they're very elementary, basic questions. Like when you're starting life, you're like, what is that?
Right.
You know, what is that? What is ice cream? What is that?
Right. How is it made? How is ice cream made?
Why?
That's a very interesting question, right?
Which I've never thought about it. But then it also goes back to, why are you so short? So I'll take that back. You know, I don't know. It's just, you know, if you're...
I think it's about understanding the spirit in which a question's being asked.
Yeah, but also it's new, much like being the new person in a company. You're asking questions that are obvious to the person who's been there for a few years, right? But a person who's been living already on this planet for a while...
Mm-hmm.
If you get a question like, why are you so short from like a 6-month old or something, you're like, that's very interesting. Right. Why, you know, it's interesting. Did I choose this spot? I don't know. You know, there's a million ways you can take that conversation.
Yes.
Without taking it personally.
Right.
But I think if the person is older and has been there for a while, and the same thing with a company, right? You've been there for a while and you ask a basic question you should have known from day one.
Right.
Then it's bad.
Right. Yeah. Very bad. And then the other thing to consider is something I learned from my social psychology class at good old UC Santa Cruz. And that was one of my few takeaways. Oh my goodness. Sometimes I revel or I wonder at my university education because it's like, what am I using? What do I remember? What did I do? Because it's been a minute. But one of the pieces that I pull out is that groups of people, so this is social psychology, so this is looking at groups again, but you are generally perceived to be smarter if you are the one asking the questions, not the person answering them. Let that settle in. Think on that for a minute.
I have thought about that, and I think I wouldn't choose the word smart. I would choose the word more interested.
More open. You're perceived as being more intellectual.
More to be a friend because you're open to.
And all of those things are absolutely true.
You're not the one with all the answers, so you're not looking down on anyone else.
But
you're not closed off.
Thinking about it as a selfish person, my precious. All of a sudden, it turns into this whole thing that you think is something to avoid. Like, I don't want to look foolish. If you ask questions, guess what? You're going to look the opposite of foolish. It's bizarre.
It shows that you're inquisitive, that you care, and you're noticing something. So if you ask questions of another person, you're immediately acknowledging their existence.
Right.
And you want to know more.
Right.
Again, I think it really depends on the tone also and exactly what the question is. So why do you have a big nose or why do you...
What?
Why are you voting that way?
Right.
Why do you support this? You know, instead of like, I really want to know, could you tell me your perspective on your decision
right.
for voting that way?
Right.
As opposed to, why do you do that? Do you know what I'm saying? There's yes. always a spirit.
As a matter of fact, I was talking to somebody who is on the political spectrum, almost dead opposite me. And I just asked, what have you heard? And I said, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's interesting. And oh, that's interesting. And we were able to move on. And now I have some things I need to research because these things don't necessarily smell true, but maybe they are.
And that goes back to what we were talking about 2 weeks ago. Is what have you heard? Because we are hearing whatever we are hearing because we have a filtered world, filtered right. for our specific whatever it is we are, whether yep. it's financial or cultural, whatever it is that the computer or all the algorithms or the culture has put us in this tiny little bubble. So you are not able to hear or see other bubbles out there.
Right, right. We're losing track of zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a great lesson. So are you going to go and join any of these meetups?
Unfortunately, both of those meetups are literally today, but I'm going to be taking a look and I am going to be getting back to the podcast.
So you're going to overcome the feeling.
I'm going to give it a whirl. Now, I remember going to a couple of meetups in Colorado that ended up being at a company I later ended up working at and not meeting anybody. So we'll see how, and these were computer meetups. So I don't know if it's specific to where I was, who I was with, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to give it the good old college try.
And once again, a class is a meetup. I would have never met the love of my life, which is you, had I not gone into Aikido.
Truth.
I would have never. I mean, I was so against Aikido. It just was like wrong. And I remember stepping. I'm standing in the threshold.
Yes.
And I looked at all of you in there. I'm like, I'm not going in there. Look at these people. Ew.
Mm-hmm.
My first reaction was like, oh no. And I think I actually did step back. And I'm like, oh, no, let me just go in. I'm already here. and I was wearing the wrong clothes. I was like, I think I was wearing my, was I wearing my karate gi?
I don't with remember a t-shirt your on top. First,
I remember, think you were. I remember I was wearing a dragon t-shirt.
You were wearing like gi pants or something.
Yeah, because I didn't know.
With the dress code.
Right, and I didn't want to walk in with a full gi.
Right.
But I looked at all of you. I'm like, these are not my people.
I wore sweats and a t-shirt the first like 6 or 8 classes.
But like the judgments.
So what caused you to go across the threshold? And then I'll share why I did.
Honestly, I don't remember. Some force took over me and I actually took one step and went up and stepped on the mat. And I think it may have been you or some other people that immediately, energetically greeted me with a welcoming attitude. And that at that point, it's too late. I can't step back outside.
Okay, bye.
Although I have done that before. Like, okay, bye. No.
This is not for
run.
Me.
No, but I felt, I don't know, there was an inner pull that was guiding me that took mm-hmm. over, honestly.
I gotcha.
And even it took a few weeks because I was still like, these people don't even know how to hit.
Right.
Right? And you guys were telling me not to hit. We don't hit.
And
here.
Telling you not to hit is like telling people not to breathe.
And I felt like I was a preschooler mm-hmm. being scolded. We don't hit here. I'm like,
no slapping.
I'm like, what? But then I just watched you guys and the way you were so loving and the way you were so giving with direction and teaching me whatever it is we were learning there. Then you got me. Then I was like, wow, these people are amazing and beautiful.
Gotcha.
And really talented martial artists. They can get the job done. Like, it didn't look like it. Mm-hmm. Once again, you know, just going by looks. Sometimes it helps, you know, like I said, the way you dress up. But sometimes, I mean, don't judge a book by its cover. I don't know. I mean, sometimes you do have to judge by the cover. I think you have to take a holistic view of gathering all this kind of information that comes to you, but you got to go with your heart and you have to decipher what is my heart and what is fear, what is my insecurity and what is my destiny. And I think it was my destiny. I know, of course, it was my destiny to walk into that dojo.
Interesting.
So what was yours? What made you go in?
If you don't do this, what's going to change? I felt like I needed a change. I felt like I needed to mix things up. And I felt like I needed to grow. And this was not even self-apparent or self-obvious. It was something I hunted, found, and did. So that's where my head was at. So, you know, I think as human beings, we want to grow and expand. It's wired into our DNA, and that's a whole other thing to go over. But part of it is that's why boredom exists. It's actually we're hardwired to want to be better, to improve ourselves, and et cetera. And that's where my head was at. And that's why I stepped through the threshold.
So question, mm-hmm. What was your first reaction? What was your first impression when you walked in? And not walked in, when you were in the doorway. What was your first reaction? Be honest.
Hippie dojo.
Right? Right?
And yet like, I felt comforted by that. I mean, I was looking for something very strict, but I don't think I was looking for something strict. I don't think something strict in me kind of can operate in the same space.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm one of the hippiest people, but I came from strict. I came from yelling and chopping wood and like chopping, getting your leg, doing roundhouse kicks mm-hmm. at a concrete pole.
Ow.
Right. I'm still paying for that. So yeah, looking at the crew, I was like, oh no, they look so sloppy and out of shape, you know, is what I thought. You were far from it.
Where's my potato chips?
No, but like I didn't understand. And I would be told this by my really talented martial arts friends that were not Aikido people, that don't judge a person's, what do you call those muscles in the stomach? Six packs,
mm-hmm.
that the strongest person doesn't even have a six pack. You don't you know, just because they're muscular on the outside doesn't mean they have any strength or control. So anyway, you just don't know. Just go for the opposite. I've been thinking about all the opposites. I'm like, I need to go find opposite friends. And I'm like, well, what have I been doing the past year? And I have come across a lot of opposites and become involved in a lot of opposite cultures in the past year. Like, mind-blowing. So also take inventory of what you have done. You will probably surprise yourself and be delighted. And if not, what did you say, Matt?
What will change if I don't do this?
Right. Meaning, if you don't change it, nothing will change?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, that's it for me. How about you?
We're good.
Okay, guys, love you. Reach out to us anytime you like.
Oh, wait, I have one more thing. Oh.
What?
I was actually conferring. I was conferring with my image consultant. No, my youngest. And I was asking them how they dealt with their first meetup when we first moved to where we're at now. And they said they went into it with expectation and with joy.
Mm-hmm.
So go in with an intention and joy.
Nice. Okay. Have a beautiful every day.
Indeed.
Talk to you later.
Be well.